Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, February 24th, and happy Twin Peaks Day to everyone out there. This show is... I made Maggie cry already. That is not good. welcome to Twin Peaks Day as well, Coexisting, Rob and Maggie. This show has a big effect on what we do, Coexisting, because that's the Cooper effect. We maintain that we always do something positive on this show. And that was something I wanted to do for Maggie, because I know how much this show means to her. And to a lot of you, she's gotten us to watch this show, and it's meant a lot to a lot of, like a lot of us. So I just wanted to say that was my way of showing not only thank you to David Lynch, but also saying thank you to Maggie for getting some of us hooked on this show. So if you have not watched Mr. Lynch's Twin Peaks, please watch it, because you also get to see the great Kyle MacLachlan, who is one of the most underrated, I hate the term underrated, but he is one of the most underrated actors that you will ever find. He is fantastic in everything he does. I mean, he's the only part that is worth watching in Showgirls. He is that good. And the Flintstones movie. So there you go. Yeah, I pulled those out of my hat. So Maggie, how are you?
Hi, I'm crying a bit. Sorry. oh my God, guys, this is legit, because Rob never tells me about the intros. He always surprises me with the intros, and I did not see this coming. I'm happy Twin Peaks Day. I'm so grateful for like everyone who actually listened to me and decided to give Twin Peaks a chance. If you still haven't, it's okay. But I promise you, you will love it if you truly dive into the magnificent world that is Twin Peaks. And I will forever love this show. And it means so much to me. And thank you. Hi, Chris. Thank you. You guys make me cry. Sorry.
I'll take over for a second for you. Chris sends us a super chat saying happy Twin Peaks Day. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate you so much. You know that. Ryan Sullivan sends us Twin Peaks, more like Twin Peaks. got you burned. And we have a fun show plan. We're gonna do Impact No Surrender predictions. We're gonna talk about last week's WWE shows. We're gonna talk AEW Dynamite, and then one of the things that we're gonna do, and we're gonna try to do something like this, not necessarily predict or like how we would book things, but we're gonna try to have like a special feature part of the show, I think, every week, to kind of change it up, hopefully. What we're doing today is we're gonna try to book AJ Styles when he returns, what we would like to see. So we'll both take turns and see what we want to do there.
Do you want me, just so you know, I can break the ice for me fucking sobbing for 2 minutes.
Sure.
Do you want me, do you remember, you know, the story I told you and the picture I made you display on the screen of the things that I found in the bar when I opened up the bar after a Saturday night, you know, with the teeth and this, like, nothing will one up this ever, But do you want to know what I found today in the bar?
The other part of set of teeth.
No. I was off the last week, and I was doing a lot of work home. And this was like, you know, a welcome back, Maggie. I went to, like, I opened the bar and I started turning on the lights. And then I, you know, opened the door to the bathrooms just and put a chair on it just so it can, you know, continue to be like open all the time, just because it's easier for our cleaning lady. And I went to turn the lights on in the bathrooms, and in the ladies room, I found a pair of men's boxers with four cigarette butts.
Okay.
In it. And I'm like, I have so many questions. Naturally, I didn't take a picture of it. I got away. A pair of men's boxers, torn, by the way, with four cigarette butts.
Hey, wow.
And I was like, okay, this is going to be a, such an awesome day. So let's get right into it.
Enough of this tomfoolery.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Alex. I was just about to say, guys, please like the video, share the video, and send us a super chat and a Hopper chat, or, you know, a Hopper chat. Hopper chat makes us, you know, keep a bit more from the money because we are poor. I legitimately, you know, the tip that I made today was like bigger than the tip that I got from a Tuesday night shift, and I had a day shift today. So that's saying something. So I finally had money to buy bread today.
Jeez. Well,
yeah. Yes. So please send us money.
All right. Well, let's get started. Can
display Alex's comment again because we didn't read it.
Oh, okay. I thought you did. Sorry. No. Happy coexisting Friday and happy Twin Peaks Day. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Alex. I'm going to get you to watch Twin Peaks as well. Just you watch.
Yeah, how many times do you watch that a year? Like two or three times, you said, I think? Or some more than that?
Twin Peaks?
Twin Peaks. You say you, like, you go through the series, right? Like more than once a year? Or do you do it?
Oh, way more than once a year. Are you kidding? Like a lot. A lot. And every time I see something that I haven't seen before.
Alex, I've tried this. It doesn't work.
No, I'm not doing that.
All right, let's talk AEW Dynamite. Tony Khan and Adam Cole announced AEW All Access, a new reality show that will be coming on after AEW Dynamite on Wednesday nights on TBS. It's going to be a show that follows some of your favorite AEW wrestlers. And it sounds like it's going to follow a lot of AEW wrestlers here and there. Maggie, I'm not a really big reality TV show person lately.
I hate reality TV.
Is this something you're going to watch or try? Or...
No.
Okay.
No, I'm going to give it a chance. Just like I'm, for the purpose that we need, probably we're going to discuss this on the show. I will take no pleasure in watching this apart from... I almost said if, you know, there's some, like, fuckery going on. But, like, we have BTE for that.
Yeah. That's another... We were talking before the show started.
About awesome curse, words that we awesome, love. So, fuckery is...
Yeah, fuckery is one of my favorite words. We were talking about curse words we like. Fuckery's up there.
It's a curse word. It's a magnificent word. Yeah, so I'm... Of course, I'm going to watch it, but I will take no pleasure in doing that. Like, ever. No. I of course am looking forward to being proved wrong, and this actually has like brings some value to the table. But I definitely, you know, because apparently on the interweb, there were a lot of people who were disappointed at, you know, at the announcement, because it was supposed to be something big. No, he didn't say big announcement. He said important announcement. I know that moving forward, I'm sure that Tony Khan will choose his words wisely when it comes to, you know, those kinds of announcements. And I am sure that the first couple of episodes will be, you know, amazing, good, and everything. And then afterwards, it's going to get dialed out. But of course, this is me. I don't watch Rose to the Top. I don't watch Total Bellas, Total Divas, and, you know, so on and so forth. But I don't know if it's fun, maybe. But again, we have BT for that.
Chris sends us a very nice super chat. Says, my back is killing me, so I'm soaking in a super manly bubble bath, but I also brought my laptop because I wouldn't miss this show on Twin Peaks Day. If you don't believe me, check your DMs. I checked my DMs, and there's evidence. And Chris, I don't know if that's a toilet plunger or if you're just happy to see us, but okay. No, I'm kidding. That was sorry. I'm joking there, but okay. But yeah.
Hi.
Soupy says, I just checked Chris. I got nothing. I think he sent it to me and Maggie, but I was completely joking. There's nothing. It just showed bubbles. So I just wanted to go there. But anyways, Tony Khan announced, or no, Tony Khan did not.
Soupy, what are you doing?
Yeah, Tony Khan, he did not announce this, but it was on a pay-per-view schedule that released from Charter Cable, and they seemingly announced when Forbidden Door 2 is going to be, and that's June 24th.
Before they even said anything about it on the show.
Yeah, Way to go. Yeah, that, well, yeah, you know, they didn't probably think that through, or they just didn't know. Somebody messed up, probably at Charter or Spectrum. That used to be the company, it was called Charter. But anyways, somebody just messed up and let it out there. I think we all knew it was going to be happening. But do you think it's going to take place in Chicago, Maggie?
Oh, God, no. Please stop. No.
I don't think it will. The reason it obviously can, obviously. But I looked at the United Center. And the day before the 24th, Stevie Nicks is in concert. And the day after, they have something. Yeah, the day after, they have something else. Now, they can always change things, obviously. They can do stuff like that. I think it's just more of a hassle. Or not a hassle. It's just.
What does hassle mean?
Hassle is just like it's a pain in the ass, is the easiest way to say it. I mean, that's the way
I'm learning so much today.
The dictionary would say something else, but if somebody asked me, I'd just say pain in the ass.
Fuckery?
Yeah, fuckery. Just fuckery. But anyways, so they announced that. So we might finally get announcement soon, I'm hoping. Probably it wouldn't surprise me if we just get that announcement next week now. It wouldn't. Or maybe they're just waiting.
You know, for the sake of, you know, because it's already out there. It's like a sex tape.
Yeah. I think it wouldn't surprise me if they go to New York, or I think they'll go to New York or somewhere East Coast. That's just my opinion, but who knows?
Fucking go to Seattle.
That would be a good place. I'm totally
coming.
Somebody will be. Well, we start Dynamite off with the All Atlantic Championship. Orange Cassidy taking on Wheeler Yuta. This match was good.
I was impressed by this match.
I like this match a lot. I was really intrigued when when Claudio came out and slapped the shit out of Wheeler Yuta. Just wow.
Drew's here.
He slapped him hard, and I know that obviously if you watch that, it set a fire for Wheeler. Wheeler started just started throwing haymakers at Orange Cassidy, and the match even got better somehow. It was already going well, so it just got even better.
I have a question, and this is such a missed opportunity. I was a bit pissed off. When, you know, Claudio came out to slap some sense into Wheeler Yuta, why the hell didn't Danhausen come out and slap some sense into Orange Cassidy? Why didn't this happen?
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
Who do I have to beat up because they didn't make this happen? This would have been so great.
Yeah. It would have been. That is fantastic. I didn't think of that, but yeah, that would have been good stuff. Like just like a light slap, you know, just where it doesn't do a damn thing to Wheeler. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
or
Orange, I meant. So just, oh man, it would have popped. I mean, that's the great thing about Danhausen. No matter what he does, he pops the crowd. He should be on TV as much as you can. He's one of those guys, if you can find like comedy there, you put him on. Because the one thing that people don't realize, I think, is wrestling fans,
it's silly,
do like comedy. I mean, they don't like too much, but they still like comedy. So it's something that they should have maybe considered. I like your idea there. But we had a hell of a match between Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta. We went back and forth, and Orange Cassidy got the victory. I know we both liked this match. Did you have any other thoughts on this?
No, it was just I enjoy these sorts of matches because they show out just how gifted Orange Cassidy is in the ring, and I always forget that.
Yeah, Ryan. Ryan requested.
What do you want me? What do you want me to? What do you want me to read now, Ryan? Like what?
Oh shit!
You gotta pay me big sack of money.
Yeah, we want all money by a blimp for Maggie.
Yes.
We had the Ricky Starks and Chris Jericho in ring segment. I loved the homage to the list.
Yes.
That popped me.
Where is it?
Yes. Like I absolutely loved it. The crowd obviously loved it.
We all knew that it was coming, right? Yeah. Like the moment he like got the list, you know, the
contract, yeah.
Yeah,
I was like,
please do it. Do it. Yeah. Yes, and this is basically the awesomeness in this segment just ends with this, because of course they're gonna have a match. I adore the way they did this, because this is the only way they will get me interested in this match, because like they make Chris Jericho look stupid, and I'm so up for that.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like the Bugs Bunny Daffy Duck type.
Yeah.
Type thing. It was pretty good.
It was. And Ricky Starks' facial expressions are absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Also, thank you. Thank you, Ryan. If you want me to do more impressions, just give us money and I'll do them.
Ryan sent a super chat for monies for Maggie's. So that actually sounds like a pretty good charity there. Monies for Maggie's.
Money.
Money. Moving on, we had the Acclaimed versus Big Bill and Lee I can't do it. Lee Moriarty. Every damn time. It doesn't matter. Anyways,
it doesn't matter.
The Acclaimed came out with their normal doing their rap. The best thing about this is Max Caster was able to pop Big Bill. I don't know. The soft. And that's my favorite thing about the raps is when they can pop the other wrestler. Like,
I know.
That's the best part. That was pretty much the highlight of the whole damn match anyways, too.
Yes. Yes.
And I like the only thing it was an Enzo dig, or not really a dig. It was just kind of like bringing it up. That was part of your tag team. And it made Big Bill chuckle, and it made all of us kind of laugh. And I like that. It was good. moving on from that, we had Christian Cage and Jack Perry segment. Christian Cage came out, didn't really, I don't think he got a word out, did he?
He didn't.
Yeah, Jack Perry was.
He was almost close to, but like, Jack Perry, I'm so glad that he lost the Jungle Boy, because I feel like he grew out of the Jungle Boy gimmick. And because we haven't, has he been wrestling at all lately? At all? Dark Elevation?
Well, it's been a couple of weeks, like, since we've seen him when he was tagging with Hook, so.
Yeah, because, like, I'll be incredibly happy if he got some new gear. You know, yeah. change the look, because, like, since you lost the Jungle Boy, you know, thing, maybe, like, you know, change the gear a bit. But this made it even, because I know that a match between Christian Cage,
I don't remember who the hell he wrestled. Who did he wrestle?
Who did he wrestle? But
yeah,
he points for that, like, because, like, I don't remember almost anything that happens at Rampage. So yeah. There you go.
He looked like Dylan McKay jumping on Brenda. If you ever watched Beverly Hills 90210.
Jesus. So Christian Cage and Jack Perry will be a match that will absolutely slap. And
oh, that's right. Duh.
Oh, bro. Oh, fuck. Jesus. Thank you, Mark. Damn it. And it was an awesome match, too. Damn it. Rampage. So, what I was saying, Christian Cage and Jack Perry will be an incredibly awesome match. What are you thinking?
Well, we got two different answers. One person says, well, Mark says Brian Cage. Another person says a local guy. I don't remember it being a local guy, but oh, well. It was somebody. We know that.
Okay. It was okay. He wrestled. Fine. Thank you. I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Christian Cage, Jack Perry. Let's finish this conversation. It's going to be an amazing match, because Christian Cage is a ring general and Jack Perry is one of, you know, the best young wrestlers in AEW right now. So you can never go wrong with that. And what they did on this week's Dynamite just made the match interesting, because it was never interesting before that. We just knew that it was going to be an amazing in-ring match, some amazing wrestling. And now it has some, you know, some beef into that.
Beef.
So I'm happy about everything that transpired here. I feel like it pushes the conversation even further.
We got a House of Black, I guess.
I put this into the script just so we can be incredibly happy that Buddy Matthews is back in the States. Just because I'm kind of pissed that when he stepped out of the light, out of the dark and into the light, he didn't just say, Kenny Omega, I challenge you to a match on next week's Dynamite. Because, please, like, this is a dream match for a lot of people, like a huge amount of people, like a lot, like, you know, all my,
there's a lot of fountains going out.
There are a lot of waterfalls, fountains, and hose.
It is a dream match. That was one of the first.
Yes,
that was like one of the dream matches people talked about, like when Buddy Murphy went to, or Buddy Matthews went to AEW.
The battle of the knees, you know, the Buddy Matthews knee versus the V-Trigger.
It's gonna be great. We're gonna laugh. We're gonna cry.
I'm not gonna laugh at all. Like, I'm just gonna, you know that bit I did. The match was 15 minutes, and I went through 15 pairs of panties. This is what I'm gonna do. Because there's no way this match sucks, like, at all. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know where they're going to have the trios match, probably at Revolution. But I feel like it's too soon. They had zero build for that. Like, I know that every week, you know, House of Black were a bit, you know, into the... But I feel like it's too soon.
SP3 says, two of my favorite people right here. Maggie is Seth, is a Seth Cohen to my Ryan Atwood because I stare at people with my side eye. Rob is Sandy Cohen too.
I approve this message. Yes, yes. Everything is absolutely correct. And this is because I was stupid and I... Rob took, you know, I had a whole speech prepared at the beginning of the show and Rob threw me off my, you know, my thought with the amazing intro about Twin Peaks and whatever. So I'm just going to say it now. Thank you, SP3, for being in the chat. Guys, go, like, after you finish the show, of course, go on Fightful Overbook right here and check out our tier list for the OC teen drama that we did, SP3 and I. This was so fun. It's been a... We've been wanting to do that for, it feels like, for over a year now. And we finally did it. I hope we get to do another show about the OC where we talk in length about the different seasons. But this was so fun. It's our love child, basically. This, you know, the OC podcast tier list. It's probably our love child. And... it was so fun doing so. Go check it out. Even if you don't like DLC,
it's funny.
We crap on people a lot.
Yeah, it was good. So, yeah. I laughed a lot. I think I have like 20 minutes left to finish it, but it's funny. But yeah, we had Soraya versus Sky Blue. It's really cool. Yeah, it's really cool to see Sky Blue wrestle. I've seen her independent matches a lot, like in person, and it's really cool to see her wrestle somebody like Soraya. So part of me was just like, this is just really cool. I was already like, I love this, because the last thing I would have thought would I'd be seeing her wrestle Soraya, like, you know. So that was awesome to see. I knew the way it would end. We would get shenanigans at the end of it. We had Ruby Soho come out. I was not expecting the three-way match, though, to turn it. I was not expecting a triple threat match to turn into it, though. What do you think of that?
Well, if... Okay, I'm kind of torn because, like, who pins who? Does Hater pin Soraya? Like, if Ruby is in this match just to get pinned, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, I could see that, and that's the thing I'm wondering,
because ever since she got back, she's been on you know, on a tear, because she's finally important, because she damn sure was not important before that. And I was mad about that, because Ruby Soho, in my eyes, should have been the one to fire up the AEW women's roster, because she's so great. She's the ring general they needed. And she didn't. She wasn't. And now, if she's in this match just so she can take the pin, it's going to be like, what do you do with her after that? Seriously, like, what do you do with her? And where's Jade?
Yeah, Jade was not around this week. Good point.
I know. She was.
And I don't think she's on Rampage, so.
She's not.
Yeah. We had Bryan Danielson and MJF promo. This one was you kind of fell for MJF on this one, based on what was later reported on Fightful Select.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
No, I know. I'm just going to say really. Yep, no, just real quick. I was just going to say, it was just pretty emotional with what MJF said and how he was talking. And it went from, like, you were kind of relating, like some of us were relating to what he was saying. And then all of a sudden he started talking about Birdie and Daniels, or Bryan Danielson's other kiddo. I can't remember the name, but then it's like, oh, the prick's back. There he is, you know.
Why did Bryan let him speak so much?
I don't know. That's the thing. Just the
woman, his child's name was mentioned. He should have been
out in the ring. And, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he went at it. Yeah. This is good. I'm ready for this to see how this goes. I'm starting to see a lot more people in the Bryan Danielson camp, like wanting him to win.
I always want him to win.
let me rephrase this. I think I'm seeing a lot more people thinking he's going to win instead of lose. Like they think he's actually going to win the title instead of.
I'm rooting for him.
Yeah. We have a super chat from our friend Eric Frieds. He says, "Hello, coexisting." And the co-chatters of the chat.
So happy you get to catch it live. You rarely can. So we appreciate you being here. I just want to shout out Phil Lindsay from Grapsody. Because I what I commented under his tweet was I'm really frustrated because sometimes I have emotions and feelings about something that happened in wrestling and I have no idea how to express them in English. And it's really nerve-wracking. And I always appreciate when people do that for me. And I always shout them out. So shout out to Phil Lindsay, who basically said it's so simple way of expressing himself. MJF's promos, ever since the CM Punk feud, MJF's promos have been a cry for help. And let me explain to you in the most millennial way possible. Rick and Morty, right? You've watched Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
Yeah, yes.
This Wubba Lubba Dub Dub is MJF's promos because it basically means I'm in great pain, please help me. And it's like Rick always says that in the most party way, as if it's, you know, oh yeah, it don't matter. Oh yeah, come on, let's drink and let's go on some adventures. And you're stupid, Morty. Morty, just don't go in there.
Wow, that's great.
and he says that, you know, incredible line, which I definitely would never tattoo on my butt ever. And actually, with Soupy. Birdman, yes, thank you.
I'm gonna need that clip, please.
So when Bird Person actually came out and said "Wubble Up Dub Dub" means I'm in great pain, please help me, is Rick's way of crying for help. This MJF is Rick. What?
Yeah. Wow. No, I get what you're saying. So it's just, I wouldn't have put two and two together there, but that's good stuff. So we had the Revolution Tag Team Battle Royale with Cheese.
Can you tell just how pissed off I am about this Battle Royale?
Was it because Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal won? Duh. It's like, I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
You had Aussie Open in this Battle Royale and Jared and Lethal won?
Uh-huh.
No. You had the best friends in there. The best friends who owned a title opportunity for forever?
I don't get it. I just don't get it at all.
You had Top Flight in there.
Yep. Like I said, I don't get it at all. I just don't. I don't get the infatuation. Look, don't get me wrong. I respect Jeff Jarrett and everything he's done in the ring.
I never said that.
No. That's what I'm saying. Yes, I know. And what I'm saying is I get that. I just don't get what is so... I just don't get the reasoning behind this. I don't know. maybe you just want somebody to take the pin in this. I don't know. I don't get it at all.
Yes, but like there's a legitimate chance that they win those championships.
You know, we will write.
I will lose my shit. Yeah.
We'll be the ones holding that John if Cena wins, we riot sheet. You know, the at the
EPW. Yes, and also if Cardona wins, we riot. Yeah. If yeah. Roman wins, we riot, and et cetera, and so on.
We got a super yeah. chat, and we'll talk more about this here in a few minutes, but if hypothetically Omega is in the WWE, big if. Styles' first match back should be Kenny Omega versus AJ Styles. If not, face
no,
Roman.
No. I want a huge ass build for Omega and AJ Styles. If this yeah. ever happens, this is the match of the decade.
For you, yeah. It, I mean, it is for me too, but I'm just saying it's...
For wrestling lovers, okay? This has been a match that never happened, and I'm not counting the only time that it happened like 50 years ago.
I love, this is a match that's never happened, even though it happened.
Even though it happened before. I'm not counting that.
There's only like 10 or 12 seconds of footage, Kenny Omega said. Like, it's just like somebody has like the best of footage of it, or like,
yeah, that's why we never count that.
Yeah.
No, look, we're not counting that.
There's so, somebody yeah. out there that has it. You know, it's kind of like the old
I'm sure someone
Bret
does.
Hart, Tom McGee tape. Yeah. Where
someone is... please make this available because we will hunt you down.
Well, the other thing, too about the Omega thing is they added that he is likely going to get injury time added to his contract. So the earliest that could happen, like if him getting out of his contract is November, I still don't see him leaving. So, but like you said, hypothetically,
you're putting it out there.
Well, okay. But I'm just doing the super chat. I'm just answering that. I just
love you throwback.
Yeah. And then as far as like Roman goes, I think he's losing the title at Mania. And I think he's taking time off until SummerSlam is my guess.
He deserves some time off, obviously. He's been carrying the company for 3 years.
So, moving on, we have Jon Moxley versus Evil Uno. Evil Uno is still bleeding, I'm assuming.
I'm sure. Wow, this match. A lot of people were sleeping on Evil Uno, and I was one of these people, by the way. I always knew that he was amazing, but like we never see that. We never see Evil Uno wrestle. Like most of the time I forget that Dark Order are a thing at all. And I was so happy with this match. I'm one of the people who are about to get a little tired of the blood, but this time it was so great because the amount of blood when Evil Uno was in the bulldog choke by Moxley, and you can see it just this, do you know what this reminded me of? Cody and Dustin. This is what, because like Dustin was, you know, on his hands, like, and you can see the blood from his forehead, and I was like, okay, probably a bit much.
Yep.
But like I always go back to the Sessions interview between Renee and Britt Baker. Britt Baker just got finished with Thunder Rosa and that main event they had, you know, the no DQ main event that they had, and Britt Baker said, I know that she was with Mick Foley. She was talking to Mick Foley, and she was like, "Do you have any, you know, any advice?" And he said, the only advice I can give you, whenever you get cut, just go, just so we can, you know, with, just so the blood can start, you know, pour in, and nothing will happen to you. Just, you know, just force the blood to come out harder. And I'm like, every time when someone bleeds from their head, this is the first thing that I remember. Britt Baker saying that you need to, you know, just do that. And I love Britt Baker so much. Yeah. So yeah, I'm happy with this match. Probably like just, you know, ixnay on the blood.
Yeah. Throwback wanted to add that he wanted to amend his statement, Styles versus Omega versus White. It'd be nice, but I think we need, I think we need
the Bullet Club leader.
I just say give me Styles Omega first. I need that before I get a triple threat match. That's just me.
Oh yeah.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Like this, we need to get the singles matches before that. But all of this, like the points that you were making, Pat, these were all true. Like these,
oh yeah,
amazing matches. Sure. Like if you don't want to see AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega, I'm sorry, but you're not a wrestling fan.
Yeah, that was Dynamite. Good match between Moxley and Uno. That was entertaining. Moxley got the win. But AEW Rampage preview for tonight. Fans will hear from Keith Lee and Dustin Rhodes. You have Lance Archer, who's finally back. He'll be in action. Jesus. We have Tony Storm versus Willow Nightingale. Sammy Guevara versus Action Andretti. And the Young Bucks versus Aussie Open. So that's going to be
fucking good. Yes, please. Oh, my God. I'm glad that they will get something out of Aussie Open while they're there, because it is a travesty that they weren't, you know, added to the four-way. And do you think the Willow Nightingale gets pulled in to the whole homegrown and outsiders bit that they're doing?
I do. I think they...
She's the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I think she will. I mean, I can see them not doing it too. I mean,
it's gonna be a weird way. No, it's gonna be a fine way for them to introduce Athena into the outsiders thing, because yeah. Willow Nightingale and Athena, you know, can go. Yeah. They can go a lot of ways, because like I just hope that they don't, because the thing they're doing with the spray painting and the L's, it's not for me. And, you know, I just want them to, you know, to express a legitimate reason that why they're doing that. Because yeah. We haven't seen one at all.
Yeah. All right, Maggie, ready?
Yes. Do you have the picture?
Yep. Of yeah, I'm reading it. Yes,
put it on the screen. Look at the cutie. It's so fucking adorable. I'm like, look at the eyes.
Yeah.
Guys, this is an owl that escaped from New York City Zoo. And I'm so rooting for the owl, by the way, because you cannot put this amazing creature in a zoo. I hate zoos, by the way. I am so not a fan. But its survival instinct kicked in, and it started like doing well on its own in the wild, quotation marks, because it's New York City. And they decided, like the officials of the zoo decided to give it some freedom while it's in. Look at look at all those chickens. Yes, and yeah, they decided to give it some freedom in Central Park, which is, I'm gonna give them, you know, the benefit of the doubt, because this is one of let me just check. Is this Taco?
Yep, that's my dog Taco in the background.
Let me just check what was the species. Eurasian eagle owl. This type of owl is one of the biggest owls out there. And when it flaps its wings, it can reach out to 6-7 feet. So that's a huge ass owl.
Wow.
Yes. So kudos for them to, you know, because there are a lot of companies and a lot of nature lovers and ornitho thingy, I don't know the word, out there lovers who are following the bird just so, you know, they can see if it's okay, because like it's a really, really important bird. I'm not a big bird person, but I love owls because like sue me, it's Twin Peaks thing. Just look at their eye, look at the way, look how pissed off it is, look at the eyebrows.
Hey Maggie, did you know what an owl's favorite drink is? Hoot beer. shit, I love it.
You should have seen my expression.
I'm sorry.
Yes, and okay. See, Pluggo's in the chat, and he's making a really good point. He's on Twitch because we're broadcasting on Twitch, by the way, also. He said, I'd rather see this owl fight Lesnar at Mania. Yes! I would rather see anyone fight Lesnar at Mania except for Omos. So I'm sure as hell know that we're not getting that, sure.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry. No, please. So, let's talk about New Japan. New Japan's battle in the valley, really quick. What did you think of the show?
Oh, I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was a good show. I the last three matches is what did it for me. I mean, all the matches were good. I think for the most part, Jay White versus Eddie Kingston was. Those two beat the hell out of each other.
Did you see that Jay White was crying while he was getting pinned?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't, and people pointed it out on Twitter, and then I went back and saw it, and then I started to cry.
That tells me he's, I think he's gone.
Yes, or he's a magnificent actor. Yeah.
That too.
What, one of the two, and both are possible, by the way, because it's quiet. Yes, I was so awake for this match because, like, you know, that this was happening, you know, right around 7 a.m. for me. Yeah. While I was, you know, awake for Elimination Chamber. But Okada and Tanahashi slapped hard. As much as we knew that it would.
Yep.
But the match we all want, you know, to get into was Kairi versus Mercedes Moné. First of all, Mercedes with the Hanakamura shout-out gear. Amazing. She looked fantastic. Her gear as a whole. Yep. Oh, my God. Like, this woman...
Yeah,
she's like, it's so not fair when you're that gorgeous, look incredible in whatever you wear, and be that good in the ring. Like, it's not fair. Like, come on, you can't have everything.
She's
like, how dare you have everything?
Yeah, she's something else, man.
It's pissing me off.
Like Ryan said, I was doing the watch along. It was me, Chris, and Ryan, and I was very tired, but when she came out and like, just look on the way she always does, just absolutely stunning. And she wearing that, I was just like, just wow, like wow.
She can be the talk of the talk about fashion shows, wrestling events, whatever. Like, she is the one that people are talking about, whatever she decides to do. How is this fair?
Yeah.
Like, how can you be that gifted, talented, and amazing at everything that you desire to put your head into?
It will always baffle the hell out of me how WWE did not when
they had both Kyrie and Mercedes on their roster.
What I was going to say is how they didn't use like her on like Star Wars, The Mandalorian, like as a like promote it. Like I will always find that weird. I guess probably because they weren't getting paid. That's probably why.
Yeah, like this will always be baffling for me. But you know why them not getting paid? Like fuck that. Like that's like saying, hey, look, there's a our superstar in the one of the best things that happened to Star Wars since Episode 6. Like come on. Like go and watch it and then come back to watch, watch her wrestle because she gave a DDT to someone and looked incredibly and
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's and also this match was
it humped.
I have no idea how even to put it. Like is flawless is putting it mildly. I don't know what the word for that is. And by the way, her finisher, I forgot what she called it. Her finisher, she made amends for, they both did made amends for the way that they did that move on Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't care about the way that it transpired at Wrestle Kingdom. The way that they made this happen here is all that matters to me. Move looked incredibly brutal and gruesome and looked that, yes, it should finish off a match.
Yeah.
If you guys remember what she called the move, like please tell us in the chat because I suck at remembering stuff.
So, yeah, the main event, Okada versus Tanahashi. You can't go wrong with those two. Very, very solid match, obviously. Very good. I mean, what else can you really say? Very good. What did you think of that?
Yes, like I mentioned previously, it was an Okada and Tanahashi match. Like, what do you expect from a match between those two? And everything that transpired after that, like, Mercedes got into the ring with Okada. This was so cool. I'm sorry. The image of them both, like, holding their championship titles, this was so cool. I am so humped for this. This is so great. Do you still think that she's going to AEW?
I just don't know. I really don't.
I think that at some point they're doing Forbidden Door.
Oh well, yeah. I think she'll have a match in AEW. I just don't know if she'll sign.
Against who?
I think you have to go. Who? I think.
You know, Dal.
Who? Yeah. Who? You would. I would think that. Part of me wants it to be Jade, but I think they're going to go with Britt. That's just the way I see it. I think you have to go star versus star. I mean, I just wouldn't. Would that be what you would go with, or what? Who would you go with?
Well, if we're talking about star power, Jade, yes, money maker. If we're talking star power, Jade, of course. But. I kind of want to see her against Serena Deeb.
Oh, that's... I mean, I would love to see that. I would, but they're not.
They're not, but this is a match that absolutely needs to happen so much. Yeah. Thunder Rosa is right there also, but, like, I have no idea if she's going to be... Like, she's doing commentary, like, Spanish commentary now. But it's...
Yep.
It's right up there.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about star power, Jade, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, that was New Japan Battle in the Valley. So fun event, fun show. It was a long night. But now we go on to our main feature of the show, how coexisting would book the return of AJ Styles. So We don't know when he's coming back. He's obviously has a broken ankle right now, so we're hoping he comes back soon. We miss the guy. He's Maggie and I's favorite. He's our favorite. So you've heard that millions of times if you watch this show. Chris says it should be. Chris sends us a super chat and says it should be champ versus champ. I'd be fine with that too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course. Like it's literally right there. But oh my god! But I don't want neither of them to lose. So what do you do with that?
But yeah. As far as like AJ Styles goes, how I would book the return. I don't know if I talked to you about this or who I talked to. What I would like to do, what I would like to see happen, I don't know how long it takes for his injury to, for him to recover from that injury. He did it. He broke the ankle in mid to late December.
At a house show, right?
Yeah, at a house show. I should look to see broken ankle. I mean, I think everybody's have a different timeline, obviously.
Don't compare him to John Cena, yeah. Who has superhuman strength.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking at different websites, and they say some say 6 to 8 weeks, some say 9 to 12. So it just varies, and obviously it varies. It could be even longer. It just varies on the person. So let's just go on the good news route. Let's just say it's a good 6 to 8 weeks. Okay. This is how I would do it. If Cody Rhodes wins the title at WrestleMania the next night on Raw, this is how I end the show. Cody Rhodes is having his celebration. I don't know if they do the lights out or what, but the lights come on. You have AJ Styles in the ring. Carl Anderson, Gallows, and Jay White in the ring, and they beat the absolute hell out of Cody Rhodes. That way you have AJ Styles, who was the club, and you have Cody Rhodes, who was part of the Bullet Club, and you can also maybe eventually tie other things into the club. Like, I mean, you have Finn Balor, who's kind of doing the Judgment Day, but I have a feeling that's going to be wrapping up soon. I just have that inkling that Judgment Day is going to be done pretty soon after Rhea wins the title. So you could have that in there. And I think that also gives you another. AJ Styles is the main event player already. We already know that, but that puts him right back in the main event picture. And I think that's the way you do it. I think that's the best way to do it. That's how I would book it. I think I talked about it on the pre-show last week, or prediction show a little bit.
You hinted at it.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I think it would be good TV. And I just think, and that's the thing. I see Randy says it sounds good, but don't really want another AJ Hill turn. The thing is fans are going to like it. A lot of fans are going to like it. The heel turn stuff doesn't. You look at the Bloodline, you got fans cheering that still. It's going to do. I look at it from the business aspect too. They're going to make a shit ton of money on merchandise. I just think it would be the way to go. That's just my personal preference. Now, the other thing too, there is if you have him feuding with Cody Rhodes. There is a negative part about this. If you have him feuding with Cody Rhodes, you can't have him beat Cody Rhodes for the title right away, because what the hell is the point of doing that? So that's why there's a negative. The other thing, too, is what I would kind of be okay with is if maybe instead of those guys attacking Cody Rhodes, maybe we see a Cody Rhodes kind of like turn that night at WrestleMania, at that Raw after WrestleMania. Maybe they start a stable, like a new stable with all those guys in it. That way that we have a new bloodline kind of.
Yeah.
I like that idea too.
Okay. Okay.
I want to hear what you think.
Have in mind that what what you just said will be like basically forming another huge ass stable while the bloodline is technically still a thing. It might not be a thing after WrestleMania, but we just had it. And we probably need like some time after the one huge stable is demolished after we do a different one. This is why my theory, like my booking of the whole situation would be basically them. My thing about, you know, WrestleMania and the night after WrestleMania still stands. John Cena wins the United States Championship at WrestleMania against Austin Theory. Then on the Raw after WrestleMania, he comes out to the ring and issues an open challenge. And out goes Jay White. I know that a lot of people want it to be Bron Breakker, but I really want it to be Jay White. Jay White wins the title. Then AJ Styles comes back. They have a weird back and forth in promos. And then AJ Styles faces Jay White in his first match. Oh, no, maybe not his first match back. He may have like a couple of other matches, but his first pay-per-view match back. He doesn't win. Jay White beats AJ Styles. And then they become a team. They reintroduce Luke and Gallows to the group. Luke and Gallows beat Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for those championships. And then, eventually, AJ Styles to be the one to dethrone Cody Rhodes and take that title. Because I don't think that Cody's going to be a face for much longer.
Yeah.
Or he might want to be, but I feel like the crowd will turn on him. Also, if Brandi Rhodes doesn't come out at WrestleMania and spear the shit out of Paul Heyman, I don't know what we're doing here.
I put this up for Caden real quick, because I don't know if you heard... you weren't watching the watch along, but I kind of went apeshit again on his little Adam Cole thing on the watch along. And we made a bet. And he said the Adam Cole thing about Revolution, and Adam Cole can't wrestle at Revolution now. So we made a $25 bet. The winner would just put $25 towards a charity of the other person's choice. So I'm just telling Caden which one. I said any charity that benefits animals, pretty much, is what I want to do. So there you go, Caden. And I trust Caden. He'll do it. So there. So that way we all win.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I do love what you're saying, though. We just both love AJ, and I wanted a reason to talk about AJ Styles because it's been a long time. And
I just want AJ Styles to hold gold again, because it's weird seeing him without a belt. Okay, it's weird, and he needs to, you know, forever hold a belt.
I'm looking at the comments, and we got this one. I was grinning because I was pretty happy about this, because it's a new game called I Win. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about it. So AJ Styles, because I miss the guy.
Yes.
I watched his Royal Rumble match the other night with Cena.
Cena? Yeah. Oh my god. This is the best Royal Rumble match that is not a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it's one of the best.
Absolutely the best.
So let's talk about
Wow, we have so little time left. Jesus.
Yeah. Elimination Chamber. We'll just talk about that real quick. What do you think of the pay-per-view?
The pay-per-view was really great. By the way, I love the pay-per-view. Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley was weird. But I have no faith in these people when it comes to Brock Lesnar and the black wrestler. So, yeah, so there you go. Somehow Brock Lesnar always wins, and this is absolutely fucking pissing me off. Let me talk really quick about Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley.
Now, let me read I was real quick. May have missed it, but Maggie OC was great.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So I was a bit this made no sense to me that Rhea Ripley lost this match. I know that she wasn't the one to get pinned. And I expressed my displeasure about Rhea Ripley, who is, you know, the Royal Rumble winner, losing in a match before WrestleMania. And I had to know better. Now I know. Because, like, when I tweet something out, I immediately need to mute it because people were weird in my comments, in my quote tweets. She wasn't the one getting pinned. She was protected. She wasn't hurt, but it seems like you were.
Jesus.
Okay, calm down. And the only thing I will say about this is this. Do you see Cody Rhodes losing a match until WrestleMania? Because I don't. If they're going to do this to Rhea and not to Cody, so why are they doing this to Rhea if they don't do this to Cody?
Oh, I don't know. But you, do you think they split the titles up, though?
I don't care. Well, we're no, not I'm just, talking, I, we're I know, not talking about this okay. right now.
I'm sorry. No. I'm just, like, you got me like thinking there. I was like, oh, crap. I don't want that, though. Like, I mean, I'm fine with that. I just don't want two titles is what I was saying. But I know we're not talking about it, so I'll move on. So
my idea is, I know that Rhea Ripley lost a match in which she wasn't pinned. But imagine Cody Rhodes tagging with someone in a match and them losing the match. They will never do that to Cody. Why did they do it to Rhea? And I know...
Chris has breaking news. He's out of the tub.
Oh, super so you're cat. Wet?
And... Okay. Maggie will be wet on Wednesday during Kenny Omega and Buddy Matthews. Yeah.
So yes, I get it. I understand that it's Beth and Edge. This has nothing to do with them, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I love Edge, and Beth Phoenix is like forever my hero in terms of arms. Are you kidding me, woman? This has nothing to do with them. Like, this match didn't need to happen, you know? But, like, the match was absolutely bonkers crazy, by the way. I love the match. I was just, you know, the ending was weird to me. So, Women's Elimination Chamber match was okay. Like, we knew Asuka was winning. The Men's Elimination Chamber match made it into my matches of the year list. It was okay. So amazing. Montez Ford was absolutely brilliant in this match. His gear, kudos to Bianca Belair, of course, because she was the one who made that gear. Of course, I was right about Logan Paul costing Seth Rollins the match. I absolutely called it. And Montez Ford sold me a ticket when he was selling his injury, which led to Logan Paul being able to get into the Elimination Chamber. I was like, oh my God, is he hurt?
Yeah.
And this actually, you know, gave Logan Paul a chance to enter the chamber. And of course, the main event was absolutely brilliant storytelling in my book. I saw so many people who were pissed that they didn't get what they wanted. Are you kidding me? Like, if people actually thought that Sami Zayn was winning here, like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry, I want to hug you and give you tea. Okay? Yeah. Like, this... We all were rooting for Sami Zayn, but we all knew that this wasn't happening.
Yeah.
The Jey Uso thing... I was okay with them not pulling the trigger right there because this just makes it seem like he's still conflicted because he was so basically betrayed by Sami Zayn because he trusted him and now he has no idea how to feel. And I'm like, okay, sure, I will do the absolutely the same because I also would be, you know, torn between those two things. And him getting in the way of Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn, like, and the chair shot, this was actually absolutely touching. I didn't need the second ref bump, but the moment the second ref bump happened and I started laughing my ass off, and I was like, protect your refs, damn it. Those poor referees. And also, people, why didn't Kevin Owens come out sooner? Because he doesn't give a crap. He made it so clear. Imagine, like, Sami Zayn was a perfect dick to him.
Yeah.
Like, for months. Like, why would Kevin Owens all out of nowhere, you know, care about this? Remember, I'll take you back to the reunion between Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. That shit took time. A lot of time, and I love that because why would you automatically forget everything that happened literally, you know, 2 months ago?
Yeah,
this isn't the way humans act, okay? Like, give it time and stop, you know, demanding for something that they never promised you.
Yep.
So this was an incredibly well put story. I was happy with the way it transpired.
So we got about 20 minutes left, so we'll go through the last couple of bits of WWE stuff. Becky and Lita versus Damage Control is going to happen for the women's tag team titles. What do you think of this?
It was weird not having Trish there. I want to know why she left. I know the creative changed, but it was kind of weird.
Yeah. You had Satomura versus Roxanne Perez.
Mako Satomura and Roxanne Perez did fucking thousand squats. Am I supposed to believe that this is humanly possible?
I know I can't. Holy hell.
No, not me. Just real quick, Tony D'Angelo and Channing stacks Lorenzo. Channing is turning on Tony D'Angelo, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because like T-Bar, Dijak, locked him inside his room, and we never got to understand what happened in that room.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, he's totally turning on Tony D'Angelo, which is sad because I love the dynamic between Tony and Lorenzo, and he's a part of the family. This is so sad. I don't want to see this happening.
Yeah. Nope, yeah. I agree with the other. Tyler Bate, Chase U, and the Schism.
Schism.
Yeah, I say that every damn time. Schism. Every damn time. It doesn't matter.
I love Tyler Bate, and I love Chase U. But them together is something that I never want to see on my television ever again. This is cringy. I love them separately in a totally separate, you know, room and storytelling and storyline and everything. This just goes to show you, and Tyler Bate being a story with the schism is death for everyone. Just no, stop it. No, yeah. Stop.
Still driving and, nuts. I said schism is death. Shit.
Hey.
No, I know, but it's just like I do it every time. Per Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics, WWE added two PLEs in May, premium live events. WWE Backlash is going to take place on Saturday, May 6th, and then King and Queen of the Ring, May 27th, the day before All Out. So going to have two pay-per-views back-to-back. What do you think of this?
Who wants to sleep anyway?
WWE SmackDown preview tonight. Rhea Ripley is supposed to confront Charlotte Flair. Rey Mysterio versus Karrion Kross for the 700th time, it feels like. Rhea Ripley, or I just said that. Bray Wyatt presents the Firefly Funhouse. We have Imperium versus Braun Strowman versus Ricochet and Madcap Moss. So we got that going on. And now we do our Impact Wrestling No Surrender predictions, which takes
low-key an amazing pay-per-view, by the way.
Oh yeah, great card. Takes place tonight on at Las Vegas at the Sam's Town in Las Vegas. So it's gonna be a great show. Looks awesome. But we'll go ahead and start. I know the preview match. The two preview matches actually surprised me which ones they went with.
Yeah, why? Like, Deonna Purrazzo and...
Deonna Purrazzo versus...
And Giselle Shaw
yeah.
is on the pre-show. And fucking, why? Like, why is this match on the pre-show? Jonathan Gresham and Mike Bailey? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and we talked about that last night on the post-show. And Creston made a good point. It's a way to get more people to buy the pay-per-view, maybe. But my thing is, like, I thought that would be the reason to buy the pay-per-view.
Because, like, the match that opened last night's Impact, Motor City Machine Guns versus Mike Bailey and Jonathan Gresham, this also made the list to my best matches of this of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was Scott that said that. That's right. So,
yeah.
But so we'll go just kind of go through the order that we have it. You have the .com match for the Impact Digital Championship, Joe Hendry versus Moose. I believe in Joe Hendry. What about you?
I will always believe in Joe Hendry. And but I'm a bit worried that Moose is winning, and I'm not ready for Joe Hendry. Stop with those amazing vignettes. Come on.
Yeah, same here. I think you can't. I don't think you can have him lose. I just really don't. He's just being talked about too much right now on Impact.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We have the Busted Open Radio Spotlight. That's supposed to be on the pre-show or before show, whatever they call it at Impact. We'll see what this is. I'm not expecting too much, but... It's basically between Tommy Dreamer and Bubba Ray. They're having like a debate, basically.
Yeah, I know. Like they had matches to determine who gets to talk first.
Yeah. So,
come on.
Yeah, this is kind of weird. Frankie Kazarian versus Khan with Diener, Angels, and Callahan.
This is way more about Sami Callihan than it is about Khan.
Yeah. I still have Frankie winning this.
Yeah, sure. Of course, but I feel like it's going to be because Sami Callihan interferes in the match.
Yep. Impact Knockouts.
Sami Callihan follows me on Twitter.
That's awesome. he does not follow me.
I will brag every chance I get about that.
No, that's cool. Impact Knockout World Tag Team Championship, the Death Dolls. Taya Valkyrie and Jessica with Rosemary will take on the Hex, Allison Kay and Marty Bell. I got Death Dolls winning this again.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope so, because I kind of feel like the Hex win this match.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I could see the Hex winning, obviously.
Who do you think dethrones the Death Dolls?
I don't know yet. I don't.
Yeah?
I mean, if the Hex... the thing, too, there's the Hex... supposedly a free agent, so they made it sound like they're free agents in an interview, so I don't really know I guess that doesn't matter. I mean, you can always sign them to different contracts and stuff like that, but I just don't see Death Dolls losing.
Mm-hmm. I know. Hopefully they don't, because
yeah,
they're incredibly entertaining.
We have Time Machine, Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, and Kushida taking on the Bullet Clubs, Ace Austin, Chris Bay, and Kenta.
Oh, my God. This is going to be such an amazing match.
I cannot
match.
Wait for this match.
I can't wait. The Bullet Club are winning. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the Bullet Club are winning, because I feel like Bullet Club has been losing a lot at Impact. And it's Kenta.
Yes.
I know that I will. Yes, we always say that we will never root against Motor City Machine Guns, but sometimes you got to be a bit realistic.
Yeah, you got to go with what works.
Yeah.
Bullet Club wins this one. Four-way match to determine the number one contender Impact World
Championship. This is the easiest match ever. Yeah.
Steve Macklin's going to just win. He's going to beat
PCO. Yes, Brian Miter is against Heath and PCO. No way, Steve Macklin. This is his match.
Yes.
This is absolutely his match, and I feel like he's going to dethrone Josh Alexander at Rebellion.
Yep. Deonna Purrazzo versus Giselle Shaw.
Yes.
Giselle Shaw's been on fire.
On the pre-show.
Yep, but... I just don't see Deonna losing.
I will never root against Deonna Purrazzo. She's an amazing in-ring competitor, and I will never understand why they had nothing for her in NXT.
Yeah. That's one of the questions that we'll always ask.
Yes. Yes.
Jonathan Gresham versus Mike Bailey.
I have no idea who wins here.
This is a tough one. Mike Bailey is on fire, but it's also Jonathan Gresham.
I feel like it's Jonathan Gresham's time.
No, Joel Pearl is back tonight, so he will be doing it. So he is back. Impact Knockouts World Championship. Mickey James taking on Masha Slamovic.
Okay. This match will have a fuck finish.
I love that. Okay.
Shout out to Caden every time I say this word. I agree with Cresta, what she said about last night. They never stopped talking about that almost tap out that Mickey James did.
Yeah.
I also feel like it was a tap out. So Mickey, you have some explaining to do. And Jordan Grace Forever. I feel like she interferes in this match.
Yeah.
Or I have no idea. Like this, I don't see Mickey losing so quick, but I don't see Masha Slamovic losing at all this match because she's so great. I feel like, you know, Cresta mentioned a three-way. Mickey, Masha, and Jordan. This old shit.
Yeah,
this is gonna be so hard hitting. I don't know. I don't think that this match has a clean finish.
Okay.
At all.
So, do you think Mickey retains?
Yeah, but like some sort of disqualification, which will suck.
Yeah.
Because, or you know, a counter or double counter, I have no idea. Because Mickey James and Masha can put on an amazing match, and I'm sure that the match is going to be an amazing, amazing thing to watch. But it's going to be kind of underwhelming.
Yeah,
I suppose. But yeah, it's too early for this match anyway.
Yeah, we have the Impact World Championship match. Josh Alexander versus Rich Swann. I don't see Josh Alexander losing this match.
Yeah, because he's going to lose to Steve Macklin.
Yes, Steve Macklin.
As Rebellion.
Rebellion, yep. So, yeah, I mean, that's Impact. I think this match is really easy. It's going to be a hell of a match, don't get me wrong. But I think Josh Alexander wins it again. So it's going to be good stuff there, pal. But, yeah, that's Impact No Surrender. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be a good show.
It's going to be such an awesome show. Impact pay-per-views always
rule.
Always deliver. Always.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Here we go.
Guys, this week we are going to talk about Joel Pearl. For our second Cooper Effect. We did talk about Joel Pearl on the Cooper Effect previously, but like I put in the script, yes, again, I don't care, because Joel Pearl did amazing work for Fightful at Montreal for the Elimination Chamber premium live event. And we talked to him for Coexisting After Dark, which will be up on Fightful Select at 5 p.m. Eastern right now, after the show. So we had such an amazing chat with Joel. We've been looking forward to having him on the show for quite some time now, and we finally could. He talked about his Elimination Chamber experience. We talked about what his pre-Fightful gig was. You know, like most of you know, he's a bass player. Of course, we talked about Canada, because how can we not? Because he's from Canada and I adore Canada. So go watch our chat. Such an amazing time. And we talked about food afterwards. But it was after we stopped recording. And we all went to eat after that. So please catch our chat. We had such a great time. Joel, basically a sweetheart. I can hear Taco.
Yeah, my dog's going. I'm watching my dog for my parents again. Just, I don't know what's going on. But kids are probably getting out of school, so they're walking by, I'm assuming. So that's probably what it is. But it's joke time. All right.
You didn't say anything about Joel.
Oh, you're right. I didn't. The dog distracted me. That's my bad. Joel is great. He did had a great weekend. I'm glad he got to interview Sami Zayn. It was something like just interviewing WWE like people last week was something he never thought he would be able to do. Having press access to do that, he got to hang out with a lot of people. He got to hang out with our guy Spinny last weekend. He sat with him or right by him at the pay per view I saw. I like it when good things happen to good people, and he's a great guy. He's a good person, and he's done a lot for Fightful, and I just can't say enough. I mean, he's been there to answer questions for me when I have questions about things like this for the show. Can I say this? Can I say that? can I play this? Can I play that? Stuff like that. So yeah. He's been there for us, and it's been really good. So thank you, Joel, for everything that you do for us. And thank you for being part of our After Dark show. We're glad to finally get you on there. So I already played the jokes video, so here we go. Maggie, are you ready?
Yes.
My wife dressed up as a policewoman and told me I was under arrest on suspicion of being good in bed. After 2 minutes, all the charges were dropped due to lack of evidence.
The charges were not the only thing that was dropped.
Wow. Why did the chicken go to the gym? To work on his pecs.
Oh, Rob.
On my way to work this morning, I saw some pallbearers carrying a coffin. After work, I saw them again carrying the same coffin, and I thought to myself, these guys have lost the plot.
No.
Did you know Albert Einstein had a younger brother named Frank? He was a monster.
He wasn't.
I know.
He was the doctor that made the monster.
I know. I don't get why people always forget that. And I know that, but that's part of the punchline for whatever stupid reason in this joke. I shouldn't have read it because you're right. He wasn't.
Not my mad at you.
No, I know. I've got a disease where I can't stop making airport puns. The doctor says it's terminal. Maggie, this is a big important question for you.
Really?
This one might be the question that you don't want to answer, but we're going to need it. What's the difference between a rectal thermometer and an oral thermometer? The taste. Okay, and this one is the one that will probably get me in trouble.
This will be our last show.
No, this one will probably be our last show. What's the difference between love, lust, and showing off? Spit, swallow, gargle.
Oh
Yeah.
Guys, it's been wonderful.
We loved it.
We love doing coexisting. I suppose we're not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, we are.
Might as well go out with a bang, you know, obviously. And you can follow me on Twitter at Maggie_IK. You can follow me on Instagram at Maggie.IK for, you know, a lot of good time. Yes. We'll see if
we'll be back.
Check you out.
I've done worse jokes than that. So
I know.
But
I just want us to finish at 90 minutes precisely.
All right, guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter. I'm also on Fightful Rob on Instagram. Next week, we'll be here at 3 o'clock, same time, same bat channel. Maggie, tell everybody really quick who's going to be our guest on Fightful Over Fightful Selects Coexisting After Dark.
Coexisting After Dark. We're starting Women's Month, and we're starting with Kate Hensler. Kate Elizabeth also. And yes, she will be the first time ever two-time guest on Coexisting After Dark. So catch us next week. Go check Fightful Selects Coexisting After Dark with Joel Perl.
All right, guys. We love you. Peace out. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.